from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Juror, are you there? It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan still figuring out what the heck he's doing as an alternate juror. Tiki Barber is here. Thanks to BT and Sal hanging, doing a little extra hour. We're coming to you a little hour later as we figure things out. Tiki having a nice afternoon with some awards presenting.
Right. We'll talk about this a little bit later. The Gracies, presented by the Alliance for Women in Media. Susan Waldman achieving their Lifetime Achievement Award. She was fantastic. And I told her after she gave her presentation, Susan, I can't wait to talk about you on our show today. But we'll get to that later.
We will get to that later. And look, a tale of two teams, a big series about to start in the Bronx tonight. Of course, last night, a big series for the Metsies down in Queens, and they have already now established that a team with the name Etz as their last three letters can, in fact, score two touchdowns on a given night as they take care of the Texas Rangers.
Oh, that's a shot.
Yeah.
That's a big shot.
Last night, anybody can quarterback, I guess, and score 14 points. And Grimace might be receiving his Lifetime Achievement Award.
Stop with the Grimace stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not Grimace. It's J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Francisco Alvarez. It's Francisco Lindor, who's been fantastic. A couple of four-hit games over the last... what is it, month or so?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to give the dudes credit for the credit that they deserve. That's what it comes down to with the Mets.
No doubt about it. And this, as they continue in Texas, if last night was the start of things to come, I don't expect them to continue to score 14 runs in each of these games. I think we tend to forget these are the World Series champion Texas Rangers. So a nice big start to a big series. When Evan joins us, we'll get way more into the Mets, and we'll continue to take your calls on them as we have throughout the day on The Fan at 888-808-1019. But I do want to shift a little bit to the New York Yankees ahead of this series with the Baltimore Orioles. And we've... fortunately, with the Yankees, have had our taste of big series, right? We saw the Dodgers a couple weeks ago. This past weekend, the Boston Red Sox, our first taste of that rivalry, and it wasn't so great an ending for the Yankees. But now in come the Baltimore Orioles, and we got the news yesterday that Gerrit Cole will be starting tomorrow's game, his first start.
Yep.
And we get the news today that the Yankees are calling up Ben Rice, their 25-year-old prospect, number 12 prospect in their organization, a guy who's hit .333 between AA and AAA this year, 15 home runs so far across the minors, and the Yankees' solution to Anthony Rizzo, who we also found out 4 to 6 weeks at a minimum, is to call up a kid rather than just hand a job to a struggling DJ LeMahieu, and I am giddy.
Well, I mean, you have to be, because we don't know a ton about Ben Rice on the MLB level. Obviously, he hasn't been up yet, but his journey is interesting, right? Because he's a smart kid. He's a Dartmouth kid.
Dartmouth, yes.
Right? I was just doing some research, his background, but his 2021 season got wiped out because of COVID.
Yep.
So he didn't play a lot of baseball. And so you look at this young prospect, and you're like, oh, he's 25 years old already? Like, what's going on
here? The age throws you off.
It throws you off a little bit because you feel like he's new, but he's not. He just hasn't had a ton of experience. But last season, you look at his slashing numbers, and it was ridiculous. His OPS was over 1,000 over three levels. He finally made it up to AAA, and it almost feels by necessity that they're bringing Ben Rice up, but I also think it's because he might be figuring it out.
Yeah.
And instead of, and I think the reason you can do this, what you just mentioned, Sean, you can bring up a kid as opposed to let's throw the veteran who might be struggling in there, is because they've been so good. Yeah. Right? If they needed a veteran to come in and change the, I don't know, the aura of the clubhouse, Ben Rice wouldn't be coming up. It's because Soto's been so good and Judge has been so good and, you know, the staff, pitching staff has been so good. They don't necessarily need a veteran. They have the luxury of going to a young kid. So it's a huge opportunity for him, and I'm excited to see what he can do because maybe he is a long-term replacement. Yeah. For Anthony Rizzo.
And maybe he's not, but either way, I want to find out. And I think this call-up is multi-layered here, Tiki, and I'll just start at the very base level. The one thing we've pounded home in the negatives, and this obviously is a story for the offseason, is the idea that Hal Steinbrenner keeps preaching that you don't need a $300 million payroll to win a World Series. And while the quick punchback on that would be, well, does this mean the Yankees aren't going to sign Juan Soto? I never believed that that's what it meant. But I did believe that the Yankees are going to have a different organizational approach, whereas if they sign Soto, guess what? That's all you're getting.
Yeah.
And we've seen the likes of Clark Schmidt, now Luis Gil, come up, and that's, you know, really helped solidify a rotation, and that's good. Good young prospects. They haven't traded Peraza. Hopefully we see him. Maybe we see him at second base if and when they decide that Gleyber is no longer a Yankee in the offseason. But Volpe coming up last year was big. In the past, when it was the Baby Bombers with Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, some prospects haven't worked out. Rob Refsnyder to Boston. But every time the Yankees do call up a prospect, like Dominguez last year, there's just an infusion of energy.
Right.
And the baseball season's long, Tiki, 162 games. Right now, the season could have been hitting a little stalemate after those two losses to Boston. This feels like a good, perfect time for an infusion of energy.
The only pushback you'd have on this is if they are going through whatever this little swoon is, this early summer swoon, the last thing you want is a young kid to come in having to play, too. Right, because it's not like Rizzo's just taking a siesta. Right. Rizzo's unavailable. I mean, who knows how long that ulna cap, whatever the heck it is broken bone at the near the elbow, which has got to be immobilized, and likely in the month or so that he's going to be out, he's going to lose some he's going to lose some muscle density, it's atrophy. Like who knows when he's going to feel right again.
Which is why, spoiler alert, 4 to 6 weeks with a bone that needs to heal, it will be longer than that by the time he gets back into baseball
shape. Of course it will, because he's got to now start throwing again and hitting again and being an athlete again. Now, you can stay physically in shape, but I think that's less important in baseball. But my point is, if the Yankees are going to be stuck in this little mired little slump, I mean, do you really want a young kid to come in and be your, I don't know, lift me up? Right, and it's just a tough situation to put him in. And when you think about where Ben Rice has been, which has not been in the major leagues a lot, right? He's coming into a series that's like this is the series.
Yeah,
right. They already lost right. They already lost 3 of 4 to the Baltimore Orioles earlier on in the season. I think that was beginning of May or end of April and beginning of May. So like, this is their rival. This is who they're competing against, and they're only up by 3 games on them. And so Ben Rice, all of a sudden, is in a high-leverage situation playing first base where he's got to have good defense as well as try to hit a little bit to get the Yanks out of this little mired, I won't call it a slump because they're still too good, but they lose a series to the Dodgers, they lose a series to the Red Sox. It feels like they need something, and I don't know if Ben Rice is equipped because of his age to be that guy.
I think he could be. I think he's going to hit. You see this a lot of times with prospects. It takes the pitchers a little bit of a go-around to figure a guy out. So I think in the immediate, I think we are going to get Ben Rice maybe thumping a couple homers and the crowd going nuts and becoming a fan favorite. It's going to be whether that becomes sustained or not. And this isn't new in Yankee lore. I know, obviously, last year everybody's going to point to Dominguez, but the season was buried.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is right. Different. This is getting thrown into a big series.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Right. Right during the thick of the Yankee dynasty, I remember a name, Shane Spencer, comes up, and they called him the home run dispenser. It was Sterling's call, and he hit a million home runs. His career didn't pan out. But for that stretch, he was unbelievable. And, you know, before that, when Gary Sanchez, when Gary Sanchez made his run to a rookie of the year and came up midway through a year, there is at least that track record, Cano and Chin-Ming Wong the 1 year they came up, where it just breathes that fresh air into a team. So, look, regardless, we have, what, a little more than a month until the trade deadline?
Yep, 30.
And you don't want to say that an injury is a good thing, because it's not. Anthony Rizzo is still like a life blood core member of that locker room.
Right.
It's very sad to see him go down like this. But if he was going to go down, I sure as heck would like to know for a month what Ben Rice is before then figuring out whether he is the answer for the rest of this team with World Series aspirations or whether they want to make a trade. So an injury is never good to have, but timing-wise, this is the perfect amount of time for Ben Rice to figure this out. And I'm frankly happy the Yankees are wasting no time in playing no games with LeMahieu at first. Get him right in here versus Baltimore.
Yeah, his splits have not been great against lefties. Obviously, he's a lefty hitter, so he hasn't hit well against lefties, and it's not going to get easier hitting on the major league level. Luckily, in game one, Suarez is a righty, so he's fine right. In game one. Game two, I think Povich is actually a lefty. I'd have to go double check that. But so either way, he's going to be put in a position to hopefully succeed in game one, which is tonight. Now, if he doesn't, then all of a sudden, the questions are going to start coming. Like, what do we do instead? And I don't mean tonight. I mean, he could go 0-for tonight, right, and we'd forgive it because it's his first time up this season. But if this doesn't work, then what happens?
Right.
Because the reality for the Yankees is this feels like a must-win. And I don't mean win championship, but win, get to the World Series or around that, deep into the postseason type season. And the last thing you need is guys who are figuring it out. I feel like last year, you could get away with it.
Oh, you can't this year. Yeah.
Right? Last year, you got away with Anthony Volpe and Peraza and even Oswaldo Cabrera for some of those stretches. Just figuring it out, right? They didn't need to be counted on. This year, you need somebody who can be counted on. And so if this Ben Rice experiment in the short term doesn't work out, they've got a month and about 10 days to truly figure out a solution.
Yep.
Because it feels like they need one at first base. Now, this is to knock what Rizzo means in the clubhouse, but it's what Rizzo hasn't done with his bat that needs to be addressed.
Which is why Ben Rice is also being put in a good situation of there's always pressure coming up, being a rookie, New York Yankees and coming up, but light pressure in terms of from a fan base. Look, I'm speaking of this as a Yankee fan here. Anthony Rizzo has not been the Anthony Rizzo of old. That's putting things lightly in an understatement. Him going on the IL and the alternative on the roster right now being DJ LeMahieu, who has struggled back from injury. To me, it's not as if this is, like we were scared about 2 weeks ago, Juan Soto going down and calling up a kid. Now would have been Dominguez, but calling up somebody to replace Juan Soto. You're replacing a position right now that, frankly, was getting as little of production as anywhere on the roster.
Right.
So, you know, whatever Ben Rice goes through, if it is struggles, it can't be much worse than what the Yankees had anyway. So I think that basically you can only look through the prism of positivity. They use the power of positivity Lugie's used with the Mets and feel good about this. I do think he will hit. Now, what Yankee fans are going to hate, if you dig deeper past the slugging percentage, batting average, and the home runs he's hit, he does strike out a bunch. That'll look similar to some of the Yankees of old.
Yep.
But you're going to have to take the bad with the good. Bottom line is this. Whatever Hal Steinbrenner's approach is on whether they need to buy at the deadline or not, the idea that organizationally they are going to reward a kid like this at 25 years old and give him a chance, I think that the risk is worth the reward, and I think the energy could be there. And dare I say, it's a cheap way to acquire exactly what the Yankees are going to be needing at the deadline. You just hope he prevails.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I think Hal's just got to hope it works.
Of course. We all do.
Because he's starting to speak about the constraints, the financial constraints. Nobody wants to hear it. right? Nobody with ticket prices the way that they are.
Heck,
at the session.
No.
Right? Nobody wants to hear, yeah, we don't have the money or it's unsustainable for us to do this.
So, I'm going Friday night, Ziki. How much do you think I'm going to drop on beers?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly right. You're $100 or $200 out of your pocket on the weekend. So the reality for Hal is that he needs this to work. Now, obviously, if Ben Rice doesn't quite work out early, because he's still young, right? You don't want to, you know, crush him and say he has no chance if things go a little bit awry over the next few days. But if things don't work out, I do think that Hal will spend the money, but Ben Rice can save him from spending the money. Yeah. Like, it's almost like, man, just do me a favor, kid, and be good. You know, that's what it feels like when you think about how Ben Rice is being utilized, bringing a young kid up from the Yankee farm system, as opposed to going to look for a potential available arm at the trade deadline or before the trade deadline, since we're still a month and some change away.
Or like you just said, a veteran arm. Not having to focus on first base, regardless if they do something at the deadline, to be able to check that box. So Yankees, Orioles tonight. Yankee fans, little temperature check. You excited? Does Ben Rice add a little juice for you? The different Yankee approach. They've had some luck calling up kids when they have in recent memory. 888-808-1019. Let's get it started right now with Corey and Manalapan. Corey, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I understand about the kid Rice, and I understand that he's been doing it in the minors. My own thinking is, do we not think that we should be looking for maybe veteran help? And I don't know if there's anybody out there, to be honest with you. I know, listen, I mean, I mentioned it to somebody, you know, my brother, actually, and I mentioned about Jose Abreu, and he said, no, you can't.
No, that's worse than Rizzo.
Right. You can't get these. You gotta try something new. But my thought is, listen, if you look around, I don't like Gleyber Torres, and I'm probably not going to like him if he's still here by the end of the year. But what are you going to do? You know, you have certain guys that just, listen, again, I'll go back to one more, and I'll let you hear what you have to say. But listen, Gleyber Torres, bases loaded. What were you swinging at? What were you doing?
Corey, right. Corey, you're right, but we got to turn the page here. It's been a day. We got the Orioles tonight. It was a bad loss on Sunday night. Frustrating. Casas killed us with that story. We got to turn the page. Yes, Gleyber Torres is infuriating, but this is about, you know, picking things up, a nice kid to infuse a little energy.
And when he's talking about veterans, I mean, there are a few, but not a ton. I mean, the guy across the town is the one that everybody wants to talk about, Pete Alonso, but I mean, the Mets are finally starting to play.
And that's it, Tiki.
Right? They got six in a row. If you're the Mets at this point, you're not saying, all right, Pete, you're expendable. Go there for a year, maybe come back. But would that make sense for the Yankees? Sure. Does it make sense for the Mets? Probably not.
That's exactly
because
it, Tiki.
Because not only does it kind of undercut what they've started to do with these six straight wins, but it also probably pisses Pete off. You know what I mean? It's just like you're using me as a tool. As opposed to believing in me as a player.
And I want to attract him coming back, but you just hit on it. Forget that with Pete Alonso, whether it's going to piss him off or not. Tiki, are the Mets in a playoff race now? We did a whole show on it yesterday in the whole station.
They're game out right now.
Okay, right.
From the wild card.
Right, and how could you not, after a win like last night, continue to believe in that?
Right, they win two more or three more games over the next series and a half. I mean, they're in the playoffs.
Okay, so if that's how you feel, and that's how most people around here feel.
Right.
Now, think about this from a Yankee deadline. How many teams will be out of it in a month? Five?
Right.
So how many of those have first basemen that will be expendable to the Yankees? Mm. The expanded wild card and all of that, it only lessens the pool of what you need at the deadline.
It does. And the other name that's out there, obviously, has been mentioned a couple of times, is Vlad Guerrero. There's no way that's happened.
No. In division?
Exactly.
You're going to have to pay the Yankee tax for sure on that.
Right. And so it's no way that's happening. Yeah, so there aren't a ton of options. So I know people want to, talk about the available first baseman, the veterans that are, but who?
Right.
And it's like, who?
And if you have to make a trade for that, guess what? Ben Rice better hit because he'd have to be somebody included in it anyway. So it's chicken and the egg. Cliff in the Bronx. Cliff, what's up?
Three quick things. One, Rice, they probably platoon him. To your point, if he doesn't hit lefties,
yes.
Well, that's LeMahieu gets swings, so they'll probably platoon him. Two, the greatest cliche in baseball, a team is never as good as when they're playing good and never as bad as when they're playing bad.
Yes.
And three.
Thanks, Parcells.
How about a five at five? Five best reasons Tiki should be in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, one of these days.
One of these days. You should be, Tiki. No doubt you should be. I did find it unusual that Cliff used Ben Rice to make that point. But
no. Hey, if Cliff needs to use Ben Rice to promote or try to espouse me being in the Hall of Fame, by all means. You can use Gleyber Torres. You can lose Aaron Judge. You can lose Juan Soto. Whoever you want to.
Yeah, I think we should not mention the Giants' 100-year anniversary again without mentioning that Tiki Barber should be the next Giant in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
All right, Jack in Brooklyn. Jack, what's your Ben Rice point? What's your Tiki Hall of Fame point?
No Tiki point, but my Ben Rice point is new fan, newish fan, super excited to see Ben Rice come up. It's worked for us in the past with Anthony Volpe, with Oswaldo Cabrera. Yes, I understand it might take him some time to make that transition, but it's the future of the franchise, especially with old Steinbrenner saying about next year not being able to make a big annual salary, and Rizzo's just not going to be the guy anymore. Well, he just isn't. Ever since the concussion.
Right. Well, again, I don't like maligning Anthony Rizzo because I do think he has a role. Like, I agree. There's a reason that the Yankees acquired him 3 years ago, whatever it was. And part of it was for his ability, obviously, and defense and first base. But it was also because he's just a vet who's had success.
Yeah, and they elected to sign him for 2 years rather than give Freddie Freeman 7 years.
Yes.
So they were aware that the end could be coming for Rizzo anyway.
Right, but there's more to it than just, he's not someone I just want to get rid of because he's not performing or not playing well right now. And so there's a value in bringing up the young kids, obviously, but I think there's a value to Rizzo's being on this team too, even if it doesn't fully get back to who he was a couple of years ago.
Yankee fans, Ben Rice era. How long will it last? Well, it begins tonight. We'll continue to take your calls on that. And the Grimace Mets scoring 2 touchdowns last night. Sean, it's Tiki. Evan will join us at some point from jury duty, and I'm sure you'll get plenty from him and the Met Cowboy Judge and whatever circus sitcom courthouse he's in.
The defense is wrong.
Your calls at 888-808-1019. Nelly. I saw a Nelly kick on my ride into them. Country Grammar was great when I was younger. Loved it. All right, Evan and Tiki. It's me, Sean, with Tiki right now. Evan, hanging at jury duty. You know,
you ordered the code red.
Oh, God. Is this case over yet?
No, not even close.
Crazy. But I got
a day off tomorrow for Juneteenth, so he's not in court.
Right, so
he's
got to
go back.
We will have full Evan tomorrow. Which is interesting. If you get a midweek holiday, why not start the case on Thursday? Why break it up? That's odd to me. Whatever this case is, there's a part of me, Tiki, who is Evan's on jury duty. I think I said this on air last week. It almost serves him right. He got picked on this jury. I hope this bleeds into the Subway Series next week.
And I'm a loser.
At the Cadillac Club, and he's sweating in some courthouse going, I mean, what did I do?
Some of these cases take a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, we got to ask him. If he can disclose, maybe we won't ask him on air, maybe we'll ask him off air, if the prosecution has finished yet. Like, are they done?
Is that part done?
Is that side done? Because it'll give us an indication on maybe what the defense is thinking about doing and how long that'll be.
Unbelievable. But that would serve Evan Wright. That would serve Evan Wright if he has to sit there after our first show in forever at the Fan at City Field.
We'll be at the Cadillac Club. Yep. Sorry, Evan.
See you later, pal. Now, Big Mac did tweet, and you can catch Chris McMonagle overnights on the Fan. He tweeted this, and I've seen it written a couple places. There's another benefit to Ben Rice coming up with the New York Yankees, and that is he's a converted catcher, still does a little catching while he's transitioned to first base, and his versatility.
Yeah.
Like, will the Yankees...
What are you doing then? You're sending down Austin Wells?
No, you're not. What you're going to do is, with the Yankees struggling at the plate catching-wise, in a very rare spot where late in the game, you're either tied or you're down, and it's Austin Wells or Trevino coming up, and whoever. LeMahieu maybe is on the bench. It's Cabrera on the bench.
Right.
Insert whoever you want to pinch hit. Are you more likely to pinch hit for a catcher late in the game if you know... Injury happens, something. They actually have an emergency catcher on the roster.
Interesting.
And Ben Rice. Now, I would say that would probably be very rare and maybe a little overblown because if you're calling a kid up to play first base, you don't want to screw with his head, go back and forth. But it does give you some roster flexibility, which is big time in this game.
Well, I think the only way that works is if they're actually platooning him, like one of the callers said. You know, he's not hitting against lefties, and he's only in there against righties. But, you know, get late into the game, and you need a pinch hit potential, you throw in the young kid,
right?
But, again, depending on the nature of the game and the leverage of the game, is it a high-leverage type situation? Do you really want a kid who's just come up to be put in that position? It's not ideal.
No.
Right?
So,
but the other thing that you got to remember, and we've said this already, there's just not a lot of catchers, a first baseman available. There's not a lot of names out there that make sense. And even the ones that you mention don't really make sense.
Right.
Guerrero's not happening. Right? I don't think Pete Alonso's happening, especially the way they're playing. Paul Goldschmidt's the other one that comes up. But Paul Goldschmidt's 36 years old. He's off to a slow start this year. So, like, does that make you excited?
No.
The only excitement that you have is Ben Rice,
and
which
I know
is why he's up here. And it solves it lives up to what Hal is talking about. We can't keep spending stupid money bringing in veterans to try to win a championship.
This also isn't a reach call-up at this point. 333 and slugging the OPS. He's been raking. So if you're doing that at AAA, sometimes guys end up being 4A players, and that's fine. He's deserved this. He's earned it. And I think that part of this is great. And look, even if it's lightning in a bottle, even if he only hits for 2 months or something like that, that's worked in Yankee lore too. I hope this is the long-term fix, but I'm not worried about the long-term. It's a long baseball season, and this team has struggled from the first base position. An injection of young enthusiasm is something I think is always appreciated by fans and by teams, so I'm pumped that Ben Rice is here for this Orioles series. John is in Wayne, New Jersey. John, what's up? You're on the Fan.
What do you say, Teak?
All's good. How you doing, John?
Good, man. Sean, you know that if that no good SOB Hamburglar ever got locked up and put on trial, Evan would do whatever he could to make his way on that jury.
I'm a loser.
You sure are.
I like that one, John.
Yeah.
And so all this time Evan's spending in the morning, on jury duty, he's making it way too easy for Bad Tiki and Mrs. Roberts.
Oh, I like that one. Da-da-ding.
I kind of want to piggyback on this lack of options at these positions. When the last CBA was put in and they added the extra wild card team, what they didn't do, and they needed to, was extend the trade deadline because you have too many teams that are in it for too long.
Right.
And so what that means is you have too many teams who don't know if they're contenders or not. So we're going to have, like, three sellers, three buyers, and the other 24 teams are going to be more confused than Evan trying to say epiphany. So I'm really, really rooting for Rice because I'm kind of nervous that it's not going to be there. Now, in the CBA, though, it does say there is no specific trade deadline. So last year, they tell you at the beginning of the year what the date of the trade deadline is. So last year it was August 1st. This year, I believe it's August 2nd. The point is, though, can they, and I kind of wish Evan was here for this one.
Right, because this is but right up his alley.
Yeah.
Do they have any autonomy baseball in the CBA to say, the trade deadline is now August 10th, and next year it's August 17th? Or are there parameters in where they can move on wavering trade line every year? And I love you guys. You guys are the best. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Sean.
You, man.
That is a great question, and one I can honestly say currently I'm stunned at. He is right, though. The date is around the same time every year, but it's not the specific date. It used to be when we grew up, every year, July 31st, July 31st.
Right.
Why did I think this year was July 30th and past years was
it
August 2nd?
It is.
It's July 30th.
Yeah, 30th this year.
Okay, so I had that right. 6 p.m. And I think baseball is based that on, like, the schedule and stuff. Once that comes out, you don't want teams currently, like, playing where they're pulling a guy off the field and stuff like that. I could be completely off, but I think that's the way it's gone. But to that point, maybe they can push it back 2 weeks. Is there a specific thing in there? But I'm sure the CBA has some stake on when the trade deadline is because it does affect guys, you know, picking up, moving, like, their actual livelihood of where they got to go.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the conversation that the NFL or the NFL is dealing with regarding their trade deadline. It's just too early, right? In the NFL, there's way too many teams.
You can't make a determination after six games.
No, there's
no chance. We thought the Giants were dead after six. DeVito almost dragged the dead carcass into the playoffs.
Right, and so in the NFL, I think the proposal went out this year to push it back. It didn't pass because it's not one of the new rules.
For the trade deadline?
Yeah.
It eventually moved to week 8. I think it did move, Tiki.
But not where everybody thought it was.
No.
Everybody thought it was going to go more week 12, but it ended up being just 2 more weeks.
Yeah, I think it's around week 10, I think. Right. But it went from 6 to 8 for a while. Now I think it's 10.
Right. So I don't know the answer to that about. I mean, I could look it up, but I don't. I think it's set. The trade deadline is solid. I mean, obviously, there used to be the non-waiver thing.
Yeah, was always weird. You made your deals, then you could pick up a guy before August 31st. Right.
That's how Verlander ended up in Houston.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's no longer part of the CBA. So it's all consolidated now. But I think it's hard and set, though.
I like because the trade deadline started to lose its luster because that would happen anyway. Guys would just move in that waiver deadline August 31st. So that's partially why they did it. But that is part of the playoff expansion is that teams, and it's up to teams really to make that determination, whether you want to be, like Evan says, you got to be in it to win it, that whole thing, or I remember when the Brewers dumped Josh Hader. They were a good team in it. You just have to make that call as an organization, but it does make it harder. And then you end up overpaying, right?
Yes.
Because if there's less bodies to trade for, that's how you end up mortgaging way too much for a player, which brings us back to Ben Rice.
Right.
If Ben Rice is the answer, you don't want to be overpaying for a Paul Goldschmidt or, you know, Ryan McMahon as a utility guy or something like that. Michael in Stony Brook. Michael, what's up? You're on the Fan.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure, man. What's up, dude?
Well, actually, just kind of echo what the last caller said. It's going to be so. If you look at the National League, you know, the Mets are like 3 games under 500 and right there for the 3rd spot. There's like 8 teams bunched together.
Right. There's only two. There's only two teams worse. Right. There's only 2 teams that are just really bad.
Yeah, and the Yankees, you know, for the finished product to compete for World Championship, you figure they need some arms to the bullpen. They need a corner infielder or two, and maybe a second baseman. They're going to have to fix this internally unless they want to overpay with the Martian or Spencer Jones or even this kid's highly touted because of, you know, his last year and a half or so. But if they want to keep their prospects, they're going to have to fix it internally.
You want to see a Yankee fan base revolt during the middle of a team you think is going to win the World Series? That's trade Jason Dominguez. That is not happening under any circumstance. No, are you kidding me?
He's everybody's apparent for Stanton.
Yeah. Right? Or, by the way, they can't then, they'll lose all, if you will, leverage on Juan Soto. You dump Dominguez, you can never negotiate with Juan Soto. You got to give him whatever he wants.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But no, to that point, yeah, you're going to overpay, and do the Yankees want to overpay, which is ironic because Ben Rice would probably be the deal so you could get your solution anyway. Cliff in Massapequa at 888-808-1019.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Nothing. Just wanted to loop in on what the previous caller was talking about with whether the league can change unilaterally what the trade deadline would be.
I think he's thinking about the old rules.
Yeah, I'm unsure if there's anything in the current CBA, but just based on, you know, general labor law, unless there's a unilateral management right to change the date, they would have to bargain over it.
Right.
I would imagine that given the rule, it's probably more for player protection and certainty of where they're going to be. So I would imagine that the league would probably have to bargain over that.
Yeah, and again, look, we remember the old rule, and you could talk about a trade, and maybe you could even handshake it, but it had until the end of August to be finalized.
Right.
And then you had the non-waiver thing in there, all that nonsense. All of that, to my knowledge, is gone. Right? There's just one deadline. And you can still cut players, but the trading piece of it, you know, we're going to get rid of this guy, we're going to DFA him, clears waivers, whatever. There's no trades that are involved in that any longer after now July 30th of this year.
Yes.
So that's the date. There is no other date. It doesn't even matter anymore, at least this conversation we're talking about with the Yankees, because there's not a ton of options for them to go after and go get. And so they have to do it internally. Like this, we always talk about the job of developing players and, you know, bringing up the Judges of the World or the Anthony Volpes. But the other side of having a successful team is you better develop your young players.
Yeah.
Right? The job of the manager in the major leagues is it's the one we always focus on. But it's the job of that kid, that manager in the minors and triple and double A who's managing all of these kids. That's really the job. Right, that's the one that's probably the hardest because it's getting too hard increasingly to go trade for your solution, right? Because of all these calls that we've been getting talking about, well, now these teams aren't out of it, but it's just easier.
Of course,
it's just easier if Ben Rice comes up and he's the man and he works.
and maybe I'm naive, and I know I stress this at the top of the show, that some guys just don't work out, and the Yankees have guys on either side that have had that happen. But this recent surge, we saw it from Dominguez last year, what Volpe's become. I keep pointing to the two pitchers, Schmidt, who before he got hurt, I was falling in love with,
right.
Luis Gil. The Yankees suddenly, as much as I was on the you know, basically the top of, you know, the fire Cashman wagon, it's seemingly they are developing these young kids, and that has given me a breath of fresh air, and I think that plays into this, why I do believe Ben Rice is going to work out, because now the recent track record tells me they're not calling up guys just to call them up. They're rewarding them when they belong, and I think Ben Rice right now, they get the feeling, does belong, and what better time to prove it than versus the Orioles now. Ed in Marlboro. Ed, what's up? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
I'm a Mets fan. My biggest concern is, say they're in the same position they are now, but maybe there's a few less teams involved. And that, you don't think they're going to trade J.D. Martinez?
I mean, that's a good... It's a great question, Ed, because if they ever got terminal... So if they get terminal in the next... Well, by terminal, I mean they're just out of it. It just feels like it's fallen back to the malaise that they were in for a lot of the early parts of the season. If they fall back into that... Yes.
But what is out of it?
But that's the problem.
We have this conversation in football season. What is out of it now?
They're not out of it.
Because is anybody else going to run away in this whole jumbled mess in the NL wildcard at last spot? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And as much as we want to talk about Grimace, forget Grimace, the catalyst has been J.D. Martinez. Right? He's been the star, at least the most consistent star over the last couple of weeks for this Mets team. So, we're not close enough to the trade deadline to actually really have this conversation, but the last person I would want to get rid of right now for the Mets is J.D. Martinez. I'm being honest with you. If it came down to, all right, you need Pete Alonso for the short term or J.D. Martinez for the short term, not long term, short term, right now you're taking J.D. Martinez.
You're right, but this was also the beauty, and this ties into Severino as well, J.D. Martinez, of David Stearns finding
deals.
These guys, the one-year deals, because... In essence, these guys aren't really Mets. They're Mets for this year.
Mm-hmm.
You have no emotional tie to them whatsoever. So what deems being in it?
Yeah,
you'll learn a lot about David Stearns.
But at what point do you start to get an emotional tie? Like, at what point do you start saying, man, Zevi is damn good? I know he had all those issues with the Yankees, but that's just because they didn't manage his injuries the correct way. I know J.D. Martinez is old, but damn, dude hits every night.
I think that is where you're going to make your money and make your mark as a baseball general manager and president now is with the expanded playoff. And I think David Stearns is in this jumbled mess right now where you got to figure this out, right? It's what is deemed into it and what is your ceiling? You need to be more than ever an honest assessor of your talent and your situation. Because you're right, the Met fan might have the emotional attachment to J.D. Martinez bringing them back into it, but... If you're two games under, but that equates to a game out of the wild card on July 30th, what are you? You are what your record says you are, but you are what your situation says you are, too. Are you looking just to say you want your lottery ticket and think I could get hot for 3 weeks in October? Or is the best move to acquire prospects for guys you signed a one-year deal?
I don't get the sense. I'm not a Met fan, but I don't get the sense, and Lugie can answer this, that the Met fan is easily giving up this year. I just don't. Maybe a month ago, you could have pushed a lot of them off the wagon. I don't think that that's happening anymore. They've been too good of late. It feels right now for them. Now, they're not there yet. They still got to get themselves above water. They're still under 500, but it feels right now. This team feels like they can win almost any game, and they haven't felt like that in a long time. So I don't think the Met fan is all of a sudden just going to fall back into the, I don't care anymore. I'm not going to the games. I'm not even watching these guys. I know they're going to lose it in the eighth inning. That's not where the Met fan is anymore. Am I right, Lugie?
You're 100% right. And back to the original question that Ed asked, if the Mets are in this position at the deadline where they are now, they're going to be buyers because then number one, you got to make a run. Number two, Steve Cohen, if they don't make the playoffs, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to say, see, this guy sold everybody a bill of goods. Mm-hmm. He's just like the Wilpons. He promised us everything. We can't make the playoffs. We're this, that, the other. Steve Cohen, David Stearns all year long have said, we're a playoff team. We're a playoff team. So if you have that mentality and you're close, why wouldn't you look to add
they
to the team?
They started to look like a playoff team.
Thank you.
And so, I mean, it's almost like they told us.
Right.
They told us we were a playoff team. We just didn't want to listen. Like, we were too reactionary in the moment. But look, they're a playoff team.
Steve Cohen will try to flex at the deadline.
And by the way, he should. He absolutely should.
But there's not a lot of places to go flex to, like you're saying.
Steve Cohen, and Evan and I had a fight about this a week and a half ago. He's a fan still. And so,
which can be dangerous.
When he says things like, you know, Met fans have seen worse, guess what? A week later, he was right.
Right?
This is not the Met team that was struggling, whenever the year that was, 2020 or 2019, whatever it was, and then they just kind of fell apart. This is not that team. That's what Steve Cohen was referring to. This is a Met team that's actually good. They've just been underperforming, and they needed something to lift them. And then you get the Lindor closed-door meeting. You get J.D. Martinez becoming the man, and all of a sudden, they feel like a playoff team. So I know we don't. I don't want to re-adjudicate this because Evans isn't here. Steve Cohen was right.
I don't know.
He was right.
They feel like a mid-baseball team that goes through a hot streak and will go through another cold streak. That's what they feel like to me, but maybe really? I'm being the grumpy old man. They do.
But think about why. So if we go back and stop getting emotional about it, we just think about the reasons why they were underperforming. It was all the bullpen, right? I mean, some of it was a lot of hitting early, but I'm talking about the recent, man, this team stinks. They lose every game the same way. Because that's what we were saying.
Yeah.
Right? Whoever it is in the bullpen's turn to
blow it.
To blow it.
The emotional hedging Evan did when they had leads.
Right. It was all of that. This isn't that same team anymore.
What scares me, I think, above anything else about the Mets and why I'm still in the, they're mid, I watch a lot, you know, watch a lot of baseball my whole life is... Now suddenly everything is clicking for the Mets. The pitching, the hitting, the bullpen.
Of course.
That's what happens in baseball whenever you rip off these win streaks. Everything is not going to be clicking from here through September.
But they have options, right? Christian Scott's still in the minors.
It's true.
Right? They got to figure out what they're going to do with McGill and Peterson.
Peterson had
a nice start.
Right.
So the answers seem to be materializing. And it's a long summer, obviously. But it just feels like they're materializing again for the Mets. And they are much better than they were a month ago.
Oh, that's for sure. But I will be more impressed if we look up and the Mets have won 11 of 12 series. Like, that to me impresses me more than just, hey, they won eight in a row after a purple blob throughout a first pitch.
It's
about the consistency. I agree, forget the purple blob, but admit this, Mr. Barber.
Yes.
In the last 24 hours... Have you not had that moment where you're like, man, I kind of want a little Mickey D's right now?
Yeah, maybe.
There was one close to my kid's daycare today. I got news for you. I almost pulled in.
I told you I had a root canal yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Right? I just can't eat anything hard. I can't chomp on anything hard because I'll crack the tooth again, right? I was like, man, I want a milkshake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get one, but I was thinking, man, what if I went to McDonald's and asked for a purple milkshake? Would they have it? I didn't get it, but now I'm thinking.
Not yet,
it.
But they have to. What's that? Have you thought about Mickey D's?
Not really, no. I'm thinking about the Mets doing well. Grimace I put out of my mind. Here's the
Thank
other
you.
Reason why.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you,
I'm worried about the baseball team winning games. The other reason
the food.
You buy at the deadline, by the way, did you notice something at Citi Field this weekend? There were people there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Met fans are showing up. Fannies were in the seats. It's a business. So if you win games, people will show up. And you watch. The next time they're home, people are going to start showing up. So Steve Cohen, the businessman, is not going to lay the sword down and go, yeah, let's sell off JD and Seve at the deadline. He's going to go, man, people are actually showing up here. Let's go for this.
A fun, fun summer. Bruce in Flushing. Bruce, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi, guys. 3 points, Yankee points. Number one, the problem with Ben Rice, he's really a part-time first baseman. His true position is catcher, and I don't know how good defensively he is. You're going to miss that with Rizzo. Well,
Rizzo has not been good defensively this year. I don't know how many games you've watched, Bruce.
Well, I understand, but I don't know how good Rice is. Number two,
it depends. They had a choice. I like it fried, but okay.
they had a choice. They could have called up T.J. Rumsfeld, who's hitting over 300, doesn't have Ben Rice's power, was a sixth-season first baseman, but they choose the power over that. So if Rice does have a problem, they can call up T.J. and try him.
Bruce, how much you spend on Somerset season tickets?
Excuse me?
How much did you spend on Somerset season tickets?
Are you going to? You seeing these kids in Somerset? You heading out over that way?
Somerset?
Yeah, where the AAA affiliate is.
Well, that's the AA, but still.
I mean the AA affiliate.
I've been following minor leagues for a long time.
Oh, good for you.
Second point, the guy to replace Torres is a kid named Carlos Durbin.
Where is he?
He's been injured since the first week of the season. And first 3 weeks of the season, he was hitting like .320, had a great Arizona League, and he's the next Yankee second baseman.
Okay. Bruce, let me ask you something. You're very hot on all of this.
Right.
Do you think Jamie Lannister's going to be a real deal bullpen arm for the Yankees when he comes up?
I never heard of that guy.
You never heard of Jamie Lannister?
Oh, you don't watch Game of Thrones, that's why.
Great bloodline.
Yeah, great bloodline.
All right, thanks for the call, Bruce. I can't believe.
Our minor league scout calling in from Flushing, Queens. Bruce?
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie Lannister switched from being a knuckleballer, of course. You know, lost a hand. That was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough.
And makes questionable decisions about the people he sleeps with.
Let's
be real here.
For sure.
And I know it was a different time, a different era, but your sister.
Did he die?
Yes.
Spoiler alert. It was not a death.
I mean,
if you haven't seen it by now,
then it is what it is.
Yeah, don't spoil House of the Dragon.
Yeah, but Tiki, think about how many people see House of Dragon and go, where did this come from? And maybe they go back to Game of Thrones.
True.
It's been off the air for like, what, 4 or 5 years now?
You know what, though? We live in a different era. If you haven't seen a classic show and you lived through the pandemic and didn't take that time go back,
you're likely not going to.
You're likely not going to. That was the time
you're
to watch anything.
Else. 100%
exactly.
Agree.
Exactly.
But I'll say Game of Thrones is worth it. One of the all-time greatest TV shows, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, don't tell Bruce. He's never heard of Jamie Lannister. So that's the breaks.
He was thinking of the pitching prospect, Jamie Lannister.
We'll continue to take your calls on the Mets, the Yankees, and I believe the most important Yankee for the Baltimore Orioles series is playing tonight. He is pitching tonight. A big one for Nestor Cortes. We discuss that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.